My first impression? Oh, I did not like him. Yeah, I mean, I can say that, you know, but what I've grown into, man, he's a great guy. He's a great guy, and he coaches hard. He holds his guys accountable, you know, and I'm not saying that lightly. He really does, you know, and he leads this group, leads the team, you know, and honestly, I believe that he's daring somebody to challenge him so he can show you, you know, he still thinks he can play. So, yeah.
I can always count on Stiz coming back with something that is exactly on point of what I was thinking about. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. We're getting comments here on the text line. That might have been the most ridiculous press conference question I've ever heard in my life. Holy moly. AJ is going to ask to go back to Philly after that. Might. We don't have it cut up yet, but we're going to. But what I don't know who it was, but somebody said, you know, when once the magic of being a Patriot passes, oh, you have it? Like, let me hear it. Can I hear it in its entirety? Okay, let's hear it.
But on the field, when the season goes, when the magic of being a Patriot wears off a little bit and you get into the season, what do you have to do for you to feel like, or what?
What do I have to do?
Or what is it? Your kind of percentage or role of the offense have to be to feel like that you're fulfilling what you feel like you want to be.
Who is
I'm just going to call
actually, stop. I don't even.
That's not
ask,
a local guy. Is
I don't know. You know what? I don't want to ask who it is because I feel bad for him, and I don't want to say their name on the air because I feel bad. Because it's such a bad question. Like, that's a really bad question. But the magic of the, you know what that reminds me of? Do you remember? Oh God. I don't know why this question sticks out so much. Do you remember when the whole Deflategate thing happened? There was that reporter who was not someone who usually doesn't go to these press conferences, but he goes, you know, Tom, there's a lot of kids out there asking, what's up with our hero right now?
Yeah,
that's what that felt like.
I was
to
trying
me.
To put my arm around you, AJ. Let's talk about how great this is. But but it is when AJ Brown talks about the Patriots, especially in this Maria Taylor interview.
Yeah.
Like he goes on like it is magic. In fact, what did he say even in this availability? This isn't heaven, but it's close to it.
It was very cool. Like hearing him say that, it truly feels like he wants to be here. I loved his answer about Mike Vrabel. I thought that was great because we know that there was a history of them butting heads. But he also has come out and said that Vrabel and the way that he pushed him has made him the player that he is. You know, it's almost like Whiplash, the movie. You know, he got the Vrabel's that, you know, bald-headed teacher, and he's Miles Teller. But I thought that he's the kind of guy that's not going to wilt under the big lights, not just because he's played in some of the biggest games, but also because he's played in Philadelphia. And there's very few markets where there is a scrutiny on your players as there are in Boston. You've got Philly, Chicago, Dallas, New York. Trying to think where else. Am I missing any other big city where the press is just ravenous?
No, I think those are the big ones. I mean, like Pittsburgh is obviously football is all people care about, but it's not.
But
it's
not
kind
the
of
same.
Small market, small timey in a way.
Because there were times where I felt that Aaron Rodgers was being protected by the media up there and being very polite, and the people who went, and there's a lot of national people now who end up, you know, asking some of the tougher questions. But I do like that A.J. Brown comes from that pedigree. I don't know if you've seen this thing that's gone around. I think it might have been ESPN. I got to give them credit. But they wrote down notable wide receivers in their first season with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I've seen them making the rounds.
And it's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started 2007 with Wes Welker, his first year with Josh McDaniels. 1,175 yards, 8 receiving touchdowns.
Yep.
Randy Moss in 2007, 1,493 yards, 23 receiving touchdowns. 2009, Brandon Marshall, this is out in Denver, 1,120 receiving yards, 10 receiving touchdowns. And then Devontae Adams out with the Raiders in 2022, 1,516 yards, 14 receiving touchdowns.
I think you could throw Steph Diggs in. I mean, last year, his first year here, he had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't finish great. The Super Bowl was a little bit of a letdown, but so was the entire offense and obviously the protection. But yeah, and what was the clip that McDaniels spoke today and he said, there's a force to the way he plays the game, maybe the closest thing I've seen since Gronk. This is a big guy. So, you know, and you feel like you're simpatico with Josh.
Yeah.
The only pushback that I see, now Philadelphia, obviously being what it is, this is not a big shock. But the headline in the Philly Inquirer from Marcus Hayes is, good riddance, super diva wideout, A.J. Brown's talents couldn't compensate for all the headaches. And he goes into, here's just read the first part of it. Rejoice that A.J. Brown was an Eagle. Be glad that he spent 4 years as the best receiver the franchise has ever known. Rejoice now that he's gone. No more distractions. No more favoritism. No more veiled accusations that Jalen Hurts lacks the arm strength, the courage, and the football IQ to maximize his talent. No more insubordinate accusations on social media that the Eagles offense, led by a callow coordinator, is a bleep show. So, and it just goes into, you know, some of the drama that he had there.
Sure.
But do you worry about that? I think it is a legit question, because even on the text line, some people are like, okay, this guy is going to be a diva. But when he talks, he actually wears it with a badge of honor. He comes in and he says, I'm going to try to push this team. And he admits that he uses the media for that purpose to try to get the team fired up, which is something different than I've ever heard a guy say.
I just don't think under Vrabel it's going to be that way. I just have a feeling that, you know, when you have Nick Sirianni, he doesn't come across as an alpha. And Ted said it best. Like, Mike Vrabel is an alpha's alpha. Like, when he's in a room, no matter who the player is, he is the guy in charge. It's one of the reasons I wanted him to be a coach here, even when they brought in Gerard Mayo. I'm like, what are you doing? Go after Mike Vrabel. I don't feel that A.J. Brown is going to be, I mean, what's the term we're looking for? A loose cannon?
I could see him. I could see he and McDaniels snapping at each other on the sideline. I think we're going to get that, which may not be a bad thing. Like, he did it with Sirianni. I could see he and Drake May having some moments. That would be the biggest one you worry about. Like, get me the football.
I just think that A.J. Brown is going to fall in love with Drake May because his style of football is perfect for A.J. Brown. Absolutely perfect. Hand in glove, perfect.
Yep.
Made for a player like A.J. Brown. I did enjoy the question that was asked about his knee, because it's a tough question. I wanted to hear his reaction to it. Do we have that by any chance? You just said thumbs up. Do we have the knee question? All right. Can I hear that one more time? I thought this was one of the better questions, except for, of course, you know, when you get over the magic of being a Patriot. Let's take a listen to this one more time.
Curious with your knee. Can you just let us know kind of how your knee is feeling, any updates with that? Because I know sometimes like, the injury has come up.
No injury, nothing to worry about. You know, I think this whole little, you got to understand where I came from. So any conversation about anything is going to come up, you know. So maybe in, 4 years, I missed one game from shot to the knee. So that's nothing to worry about. I'm good. I'm ready to go, you know. So
you believe him?
I do believe him, especially this year. The magic of year one is going to be strong with this one.
And it will be magical.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to argue with his resume. It's not like he is missing games. He's not Garrett Crochet. He's not our man Roman right now. He's the guy plays.
All right, so I wrote this down during the commercial break here because who is it who had the hot take on ESPN?
Damian Woody.
Damian Woody.
Yeah.
That this is now the Patriots have the best receiving core in the league. And you hear that, and you're immediately, I don't know, that doesn't sound
Patriots
right.
Wide receiver room may be the best in the league.
All right. So I wrote down a couple that I think are better. The Dallas Cowboys, they have a better receiving corps.
Now, are you talking, we're just going top two here, which really, I think you have to, obviously there are a lot of three wide receivers.
You're talking about like the top two players
together?
Yeah,
but you're not going like deep down the roster of the Cowboys.
All you have to do is do top two. Matter of fact, the list I'm looking at here, the list that I wrote down, I'm thinking top two, because you got CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. I think that the Cowboys
that's fair.
Might be the best.
Yep.
But if they're not the best, they're 1A, 1B, somewhere around there, and that would be the Bengals, the other one.
Bengals, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. And the Rams. I think you got to put the Rams ahead of them with Puka and Devontae Adams.
I think that's another great one, which I did not write down.
I think you could make an argument the Pats have the fourth best duo, but I would say Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I wrote down Detroit. Yeah. That was the other team Jameson I wrote
Williams.
Down.
And Denver, maybe, now that they got Jalen Waddle. Depends how you feel about Waddle and Cortland Sutton.
I would put them on par with the Patriots, but I do think that that's obviously one that's in the conversation. But to immediately crown the Patriots as having the best receiving core is jumping to conclusions, because we haven't even seen. Now, is there a possibility that Drake May can turn them into the best receiving? Absolutely. Drake May is exactly the kind of guy. I said this before. I mean, if you want a receiver that fits perfectly to what Drake May does, A.J. Brown is the guy, and I believe the entire time that's why they were so locked in on, we will give you a first-round pick. This is exactly what this team needs. I thought there was a moment yesterday, which was probably the one thing about the trade yesterday that got me the most excited, was that when we had Jeremy Fowler from ESPN on, he said, from what he has been hearing, he thinks the Patriots might not be done. Mm-hmm. and he mentioned edge rusher.
Yep.
And that, to me, made my ears perk up, because right now it's an A. You can give this offseason an A for the Patriots. They've done essentially everything that they could do except for one position, and that is edge rusher, which there's a seems to be a pretty big hole there. Like, that is it is underwhelming what they're offering. If you were able to go to the Giants or go to Arizona and make some sort of deal, man, I mean, now you kind of got to keep going, right? Your chips are almost all the way in. Like, you are close.
Well, you need to sign Gonzalez. All the way in. You better sign Gonzo, right?
I'm assuming they sign Gonzalez. I'm assuming they get that done. There's no way they can let him walk. There's no way they can't, like, sign that deal. And it will be a record-breaking deal. It will set the market. But they're going to have to do it if they want to keep him.
And you're a little bit worried now. Vrabel at his press conference today called the injury to Julian Hill, the tight end, devastating. Like, they paid up the guy 3 years, $15 million to come here and be the backup tight end. So that sucks. Maybe would they look for another tight end to replace him? I mean, they might actually be back in that market again if they felt it was so important to get a blocking tight end.
I mean, they're doing a lot this offseason. Like, this is a busy – if they're going to get an edge rusher too,
that's great.
I mean, you can't really do much better than they've done.
But just the thought of – even if it's just Drake and A.J. Brown, if they connect for 1,500 yards or whatever this year. And I thought Cowherd made a good point on Fox. He was just talking about – look how good the running games were wherever A.J. Brown was. Now, obviously, they had Derrick Henry in Tennessee and Saquon Barkley in Philly, so some of the premier guys in the league. But A.J. Brown helps to open up the run game just based on defensive coverages. And, you know, Ted was speaking about that yesterday. So I think you could even hope for a better running attack because A.J. Brown's
and
here.
Then you know what the offense is going to be? Magical.
That's what I've been saying.
That's what one of the guys at one of the reporters asked. It was absolutely magical. All right.
The magic of being a Patriot.
He probably had a decent question there. He just didn't get to it. You can't get over the hump there.
No, you know, he's kind of.
What are your expectations?
Even if
for
you got to write it out, you know, you can't say that. And then he hemmed and hawed.
Your percentage of damn.
Kind of sounded like Jackson at the bike for the comedy night.
I just think that he was sitting there.
I was
there
just thinking the same damn thing.
I just think his head was in this, like, happy space when he thought of the magic, and it was like, oh, the magic of being a Patriot.
There we go. Get some America.
Is that what that is? Or maybe we could even go, like, even more, like, oh, magic, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. Magic.
Cars.
Yeah, it's a long build-up, so I'm going to cut it off. All right, 617-779-7937. More magical moments right here on Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson.